Are there any Red Rover fans in the room? Anybody know what game I'm talking about? Right? How many fans are there of Red Rover? Come on now. Be honest, right? So when you're in elementary school, you go out during recess time, and isn't that like the game? At least it was 1,000 million years ago when I was in elementary school. That was like the thing to do. Red Rover. We couldn't wait till recess time because we already had like our plans of who was going to be on the right teams and how we were going to win. It was a big deal to play Red Rover, whatever, back in elementary school. So we went out this one day, and I started to have this crush on this really pretty girl in my class. And here's the deal with Red Rover, right? You get to do what?
Bing.
Hold hands, right, with the people to your left and your right. And so I strategically watched the line and saw how people were getting picked and saw the team I was going to be on and snuck myself right next to this very charming young lady that I wanted so badly to hold her hand, okay? So I accomplished my goal. There I am. I'm standing in line. We're like, we've got the dream team over here. I'm holding this girl's hand, and I am like 10 shades of red. I'm just bright red in all cheeks right now because I got big cheeks. And so I'm just standing there smiling from like ear to ear, holding her hand. It was like heaven. I was like living a dream. And then it came time to actually play the game, right? So we're holding hands, and everybody's like locked in, and we're ready to go. And they look to me to call like the person we're going to call, because there's a strategy in that too, right? You got to look over, and you pick out the little weak one, right? The little sick one in the back. You're like, send that one over. The little teeny dude over there who's never going to be able to break through this line, send him right over at us. And so we pick the smallest dude we could find on the other team, just a little guy. He rears up. He looks at us. He does the whole bull thing, you know, with his feet, like he's like getting the charge, and his head goes down. And I'm thinking, is this dude gonna like form tackle me? Like, what's going on? And he comes straight at us, right? And I am locked into this girl's hand. There is no way I'm letting go of her hand. I mean, this little teeny shrimp dude is not breaking the line. And so as he runs, he's coming. I am squeezing her hand, and you can see her like starting to like be in pain because I'm squeezing her hand so hard. She's about to slap me. And this kid's running, but he's not running looking because he's like this. He misses our hands completely, nails me in the stomach, knocks the wind out of me, and sends me on my back. And I'm just laying there. And of course, we break the line. And all I see is this girl look over at me like, and she like flips the hair, you know, and did a little hair flip, a little sass to it. Like, you're so weak, you know, like I'm laying on the ground crying like, oh, he knocked the wind out of me. It was terrible. It was the worst game of Red Rover, and not a good strategy to impress a girl, by the way, if you're thinking about it over here. Yeah, I know. So, but the goal of the game is what? To stay standing, right? To keep that line firm. And you want, as they run over, to be able to like stop them and not let them break your line. You're holding, you're staying as one solid team, and you're not letting them break through. And if they can't, you kind of like do that like hug thing, and they become part of your line, and your line grows. And the strategy is to hold on, to not break, to not give up, to not let them beat you. And so it's this back and forth deal. And as we've been talking through our series, we're on our last night of our back to school series. It's called We're Back, right? And B-A-C-K are the letters we're looking at. B was believe. We're believing the true things God has said about us as we head back to school. That we're sinners, but Jesus loves us and He's died for us. And if you place your trust in Him, that you'll be saved. And then you will be a child of God. God does awesome things with His children, right? And we acknowledge the plan, that's the A, that God has for each of us, you and me. That as God's child, He wants to do big things through you. And you acknowledge that He has a plan for your life. And then last week we looked at C, which was compete, right? Once He's told you the mission, love God, love others, blah, 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 right? And go into the world, you do it. You compete hard for the things in life that really matter. It doesn't mean you don't compete for all the fun stuff too, but it means that the thing you compete hardest for is the thing that matters the most. And so we did a heart check and said, what matters the most to us? Let's compete hard for those things, for the mission of Jesus. I love that we have people are about to head out to the mission field. They're about to go compete for what matters most in the plans God has for their lives. They're looking at God saying, yes, we believe souls matter most. We'll go wherever you send us. We're competing. We're going hard after your mission to save the world. And they want to be about it. And so each of us are challenged to compete, right? And now this week we're on our last one. It's K. And K stands for keeping on. We're keeping on. We're standing firm, as the Bible likes to say it. The same way to say We're not giving up. It's one thing to compete, right? But when you get out there like that game Justin played with you guys and you start pulling those things out, it's cool for the first 20. And then all of a sudden your wrist starts to like get all tense and then your fingers start to do this and lock up and you're like, I can't pull anymore. There comes a point where you're like, if you've ever been a runner, I don't know how many of you guys like to run. Most of you look disgusted at me for even saying it. Sorry. But like if you've ever gone running, you know that as you start off, it's like, yeah, I can do this. And then about 10 steps in, you're like, I could do this. You can't even breathe, right? And it gets harder as you go. So it's one thing to say we're going to compete and be passionate and be excited and do it. And it's another thing a couple years down the road or even maybe days down the road or some of us even hours down the road after making the decision, we're going, man, this thing's getting hard. This isn't as easy as I thought it was when I was pumped about it a few minutes ago. This thing, following Jesus, is difficult. Jesus promises us that it's going to be difficult, that if He suffered, we're going to suffer. And this isn't an easy road. Our yoke's easy because we're tied to Jesus. Because Jesus is saying, come follow me. But there's a matter where we need to say, I'm going to keep on. I'm going to stand firm in this fight that I've been called to, that mission Jesus gave me, and I'm competing in it. I'm not going to give up when things get hard. I'm going to continue on. And so as we look through Scripture, we can find verse after verse all throughout Scripture that encourages us not to give up. Like Scripture just full of verses that say, don't give up. And it likes to use the word stand firm. I want to read a couple places to you guys where it says stand firm. Exodus 14, 13. Often when it uses this phrase, stand firm, it's about battle. Listen to this one in Exodus 14, 13. And Moses said to the people, fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. Moses standing in this basically battlefield, like looking off at these Egyptians and hearing the promise of God that says, you can trust me. They're coming at you. They got spears. They got like chariots. They look like they're about to destroy you. But listen to me. I've made you a promise. And you're out here and you're competing and you're following me. So now when it's hard, when it looks like things are going to come crashing down on you in the battlefield, I'm about to split an ocean in half. Don't give up. Stand firm on that battlefield. And you and I are spiritually on a battlefield every single day. You're like, I'm a seventh grader. You're on the battlefield, bro. We're there. Satan's going to target. And it's right on you saying, man, this dude, he wants to live for Jesus. That girl over there, she wants to live for Jesus. So I'm going to do whatever I can to distract and to discourage them from following Christ in His mission. And Jesus looks at you and says, stand firm. You don't know if that ocean in front of you is about to split in half. This battle that looks like it's going to take you out in life, whether it be a sin you're struggling with, or friends around you that are discouraging you, or just a big goal that looks impossible to reach. Stand firm. Jesus has this and He's promised it to you. Here's one more place I want to read this other battle scene. It's in 2 Chronicles 20:17. It says, you will not need to fight in this battle. Stand firm. Hold your position and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them and the Lord will be with you. Again, He says, listen, stand firm. Look at the salvation that God's already given you and promised you. You're standing there and you're trembling. Why are your knees shaking? I've already promised you salvation and you can trust me. So there's the question. Will you keep on when it gets tough? As you're competing, as you're trying to do this mission of Jesus at school, and people are sitting around you and they're making fun of you for being a Christian, and they're calling you names or they're saying things behind your back because you won't go to those parties or do those things or tell those jokes or be a part of what they're doing, and you're thinking, maybe I should just do it because it's easier. People will like me more. I'll have more friends. They'll stop making fun of me. They'll stop bullying me if I just do these things. Can I encourage you tonight? Jesus says, open your eyes so you see my salvation I've already promised you. You don't need that. You need Jesus' salvation. You need to hang on to his promise and keep competing. Stand firm. It's kind of like, I imagine these scenes that I just read to you is kind of like 300. You ever seen the movie 300? Hopefully the clean version on TV, right? But like 300 or like Braveheart. I know these are like older, but they're epic. So you haven't seen them, right? And it's those like scenes, these like war battle movie scenes that are so epic where they like, they're on the horse and they're riding up and down in front of the army and they're like, let's go, never surrender. And they have this cool accent, always a cool accent. It's different all the time, but it's always cool. And they're like holding a flag or a sword and all the people are like, ah, and they yell cool things in another language and you're like, I want to fight. And you're sitting on your couch and people are like, what is this deal? Like, sorry, just watch a TV. It's like one of those. Maybe it's just me, sorry. But that's what I do. I get so excited at those scenes because it's like, we don't have to lose this thing. We're looking across the battlefield and those dudes are huge. Their swords are enormous. Their horses are bigger than my house. Like, they're going to kill us. And all of a sudden, Jesus comes to the scene and rides up and down and reminds me that he has given me a promise. And Jesus put the stars together. He caused them to burn. He put life in your and my chest. The God of the universe has promised us a salvation. Will we believe it? Will we trust it and keep competing? Will we stand firm when it gets hard? And so, you're probably thinking already, like, how does this happen? How do I do that? Because what you're saying is like, okay, I get that, Rob, but the practicality of doing it in my life, I haven't quite gotten there yet. Can I read you another verse? It's Psalm 89:28. This verse helps me as I think through how weak I am. And I'm like, Jesus, I love that you're riding up and down on the horse in front of me right now trying to get me encouraged. But like, how do I practically do this? And this is the verse that comes to my mind. He says, my steadfast love I will keep for him forever, and my covenant will stand firm for him. That's steadfast love. Know what that means? Unchanging, patient, forgiving love. No matter what I do before Jesus, no matter my mistakes, he forgives them. There's grace upon grace, the Bible says. There's always grace and forgiveness waiting for me because I am a child of God, like we studied a couple weeks ago. Doesn't mean I run off in sin because woohoo, I'm free. It means I get that freedom to now live for Jesus. And his patience and grace and love is his promise to me as I'm trying to keep on, as I'm trying to stand firm. There are so many times in my life where I stop and I forget this and I start to do it in my own strength and I'm like, man, I'm just going to love people really hard today. And the first person I talk to ticks me off and I just want to slap them in the face. Now it's like, whoa, you, Rob? Yeah, me too. Like, I do. I get, and I'm like, Jesus, you know, I tried to do this on my own. Like, I need your love in me. And I get grumpy and I get frustrated and I try to do things in my own strength. And I look up and I'm like, God, I'm not accomplishing anything right now. He said, who's doing it? I've got to look back at God and say, it's me. I'm trying to do it myself. He said, but I'm the one who made the promise. It's my covenant, it's my love. Why don't you bow at my feet and trust me to do this in you? Why don't you seek me every day? And all of a sudden you're going to see that the way you treat other people changes. The way you serve changes. The energy you have to follow after my kingdom changes because you're seeking me. And I give you the energy you need when you seek me. I give you the strength. I give you the love. I give you the grace and the forgiveness. All those things that you can't have by yourself, you get when you seek me. So here's my question. How many of you guys, don't raise your hand, but how many of you guys are seeking Jesus every day? How many of you are seeking Jesus every day when you wake up, you open up God's Word and you read because you want to learn more about His love for you, who you are in Him. And you spend time and you pray and you talk to Him and you pray the words you're reading in the Bible and say, God, I claim those things because they're true and because you said them here and I can believe them. Because as you do that, he starts to give you the strength you need for the fight. How do you keep competing? You stay at the feet of Jesus. Keep looking up at Him, gazing at Him, amazed that He would go to that cross for you. Feel the love that He has for you, that He would let those nails go through His hands and feet. That He would hang there and die for you. Let it well a love up inside of you for Him for that. A gratefulness that He would forgive you. And that's where your strength comes from, to keep standing firm. You know, we live in a culture though, guys, we have perverted this thing so badly. We're living in a Christian culture that just dismisses sin and says, hey, as long as you're like, you're in a trendy, cool youth group and you're like, you know, reading your Bible once in a while and you wear Christian t-shirts, or maybe your parents are really cool Christians, like, then you're fine. You can do whatever you want. Sin, no big deal. We live in a culture where churches stop preaching that sin is wrong. We preach a lot about love and being nice to each other and tolerating each other, but heaven forbid we say that sin is actually sin and that it's wrong. And people get offended when a pastor gets up and says, look, the Bible says sin is wrong, and people get up and walk out the back because they don't want to hear it and they feel offended by you. Truth is always truth. And truth is God's word. And if it says that sin is wrong, we need to believe that sin is wrong and run from sin. We live in a culture that dismisses it. I want to read you guys a couple verses, because if you're going to actually compete to where you stand firm, you have to stand firm against sin that will come into your life and knock you off your feet. It's going to crush the foundation of your life, because you're going to love sin and yourself and like all these other selfish desires more than you love Jesus. How are you ever going to compete for Jesus that way? And so John says in 1 John 3:6, he says, no one who abides in Him keeps on sinning. Who keeps on sinning has neither seen Him or known Him. If you're abiding in Jesus, you won't keep on sinning. Do you see that they're opposites? As you say you love God, then you hate sin. What has our culture done? We're saying you can love God and sin at the same time, and it's not a big deal. Tolerate it. Let people do what they want. Jesus says, if you love Me, then you hate sin. And you might not be perfect, and you might mess up, but you'll hate it, and you'll keep running back to Me for forgiveness. Then He says in verse 9, He says, no one born of God makes a practice of sinning. They don't keep doing it freely. For God's seed abides in him, and he cannot keep on sinning because he has been born of God. Remember when we studied a couple weeks ago that you and I are now His children? We are God's children if you believe in God and Jesus. As God's child, He frees you from sin so that you stop sinning. So you stop chasing after sin, and instead you fall in love with Jesus. Are you in love with Jesus? If you were to honestly stop and just look at your life, would you see someone that just loves sin? You just freely do it and you don't care. You say, I love Jesus too. You know those t-shirts like, I love Jesus, but I like to cuss a little, or I like to whatever a little. Like, we have all those shirts that are like, we giggle, like they're funny, but when you think about like people take that to heart and we start to live that way, not just joke about it, but live that way. We start to say, I love Jesus, but I also love sin. And John right here says, you can't. It doesn't work. Because loving Jesus means that I give up sin to claim Christ. Galatians 5:1 says this. Are you ready? For freedom, Christ has set us free. Duh, right? Like, He set you free so you'll be free. That's what He's saying. And it sounds so like crazy. Like, yeah, that obviously is what it means. He's like, then why don't you get it? If it's so obvious, if it's so clear, how come we don't live that way? Jesus set you free so you'll be free. It's like, hey, I'm going to walk into this prison cell. I'm going to break the door open for you. I'm going to come up to you where you're chained up against this wall here. I'm going to break your chains and your handcuffs off and give you a clear way right out this door. And you get up and you run. And you're like, yes, I'm out of here. Finally, I'm free. And a couple steps out of the prison, you're looking back and you're like, but wait. And you start to head back in. And you walk right back over to those chains and you sit back down and you take the handcuffs and you put them right back on and you're just going to sit here. What? Why would you do that? And what Paul's saying here in Galatians is that makes no sense to do in real life. Why would you do that when it comes to the slavery of sin? Jesus has marched into your prison. He's broken your chains to sin off and you've run out free. Why are you marching back into sin and putting these cuffs back on? Why are you running back to sin so that it can enslave you again? Instead of looking forward and saying, Jesus, lead me on. How will we ever keep on and stand firm if we keep running back to the sin that breaks us? Jesus says, live free. Paul, in Galatians 9:1, he finishes by saying, stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Don't go put your chains back on. Run and run free. There's a young lady, I want you to see her video right now, who shares her testimony about this. How her life was a matter of having the faith to take a stand for Christ. Check this video out real quick.
My earliest memory of God was when I was around 8. He called me to always speak up and not be silent anymore.
You know, even when we decide that we want to follow Jesus, it can be hard. This standing firm can be difficult. Paul says in Romans 7:19, for I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Paul says, I wake up and I want to do right, but then I end up doing the wrong thing. And all the wrong stuff I want to not do, I end up going and I do it. And he says, but I don't understand this because I love Christ and I want to follow after him. But there's this constant daily struggle where I mess up. I'm not claiming tonight that you're going to be perfect. But there is a heart change in us when we say Jesus is the most important thing in my life. That when I sin, I hate that sin. When I mess up, that I go back to the feet of Jesus and I'm like, Lord, take me back. My heart wants you more than these other things that keep dragging me away. And so you say, what are some practical ways then that we can do battle against this? That we can stand firm. Remember, this is kind of a battle term. So how do I do this battle then as I go back to school? So here's some practical steps. The first one is in Mark 13:33. It says, be on guard, keep awake. And you're like, be on guard and keep awake. Have you ever, like, when someone's sleeping and a group of people falls asleep, you guys ever play like dirty tricks on them? Like funny little jokes and do things to them, like to mess with them. Anybody ever do that? Like on long bus rides and somebody falls asleep and they got the mouth open and their like tongues hanging out and everybody's like taking pictures and posting it and saying funny things or like crazy. My mom, don't tell her I said this, right? She's upstairs. She'll beat me. So I'm scared of my mama. Listen, but this is, I'm going to let you in. You're going to keep this between us just in this room, okay? No tweeting this. But my mom, when she, like, we'll be watching TV, I'll go over to my parents' house, we'll be hanging out, and we'll all be sitting around talking, and she'll just fall asleep. And we'll look over it, and we'll know she's asleep because she's like this, and her mouth hangs wide open, and somehow with an open mouth, she's still able to go, I can't even whistle right now, my mouth is too dry. But she makes like a really, really loud whistle that I can't do right now. I need a bottle of water. Yeah, thanks. And as she's sleeping, it's this perfect, like really, really loud whistle. And at first you think she's joking or she's like whistling to you and you look over and she's like out cold. It's so funny. So like we do stuff to her because she whistles. Don't tell her I told you that. But like think through, like I'm sure you have people that you've seen fall asleep and they do hilarious things and they're so out of it. Like you could mess with them and they won't even recognize that you're messing with them. Like they have no clue. I remember when I was in back in high school, we would go on these trips and there was this like weird thing we did. But like when someone fell asleep, you would take your fingers and you just like do that to their lips real quick. And they would always do this. They would go and they'd pucker up and you'd do it again. And they'd be like, and then when they wake up, you're like, oh, you had a dream that you were kissing somebody or something stupid like that. You know, like, but you just mess with people to do dumb things, right? Because they have no clue, right? They're not aware of what's going on around them. And that's the point here in Mark 13:33. I remember when I was in college, I went on a mission trip during the summer to Guatemala with these dudes. And we were working in the orphanage, and there were some new orphans that had just come in. And they had been taken like out of some really bad situations. So they were kind of like a little bit like, I don't know, a lot to handle. Let's say it like that, right? And they were a little bit violent maybe, but not like bad. But they would do weird stuff. Just put it that way, okay? They'd like hiss at us, and they would just do crazy things. And we're like, what are these dudes' problems? So we get back that night, we get back to our dorm, and we're all hanging out. And there were like bunk beds in our dorms, just college guys. And we're like debriefing our day, talking about like what Jesus had done. And then someone starts like talking about those orphans that had just come and how they were like freaking them out. Like, man, they were like hissing at us. And they were doing this crazy stuff. Like, I wonder like, man, what would happen if they snuck down here in the middle of the night? And then we start telling somehow into like these like scary stories out of nowhere. We're just telling these scary stories. So finally we're like, all right, I've had enough. I'm going to sleep. And it's one of those really dark nights where it was super cloudy. There was no moonlight, no light coming in the room, like through the windows. Lights go out and it is pitch black. A couple hours go by, everybody's snoring, they're asleep. All of a sudden out of nowhere, my buddy Nolan, who was the biggest, like most like jacked dude among us, just starts screaming at the top of his lungs. He's just like high-pitched screams. And he's screaming these things like, he's saying like, no, get off me. Don't do it. Get off me right now. Stop. And we're like, he's like, don't kill me. And we're like, I'm thinking right away when I finally wake up out of a dead sleep, he's messing with us. This dude's messing with us. And I almost giggle, but I just want to punch him right in the face because I wasn't living like Jesus in that moment, right? And so I'm thinking like, what is going on? And then all of a sudden, there is this loud crash noise, and it's just like, lights go on. I look around. There's a dude standing over here who had jumped out of his bed holding the machete he had just bought in the market, like this. My other buddy is over here under his covers like a little girl. And I had a baseball bat under my bed, and I'm standing up holding the baseball bat like, where's this kid? Like, he's going to get it. It's going to be a home run tonight. I look over, and the crash that we had heard was my buddy Nolan, who had been screaming. He told us that he, in this dream he was having, saw this big black sheet that was like coming up over him, trying to like cover him. And like he, I don't know why, but he was like, get off me. And he kicked so hard, he kicked the bunk bed off of his bed and just came crashing down and smashed. It was a wooden one, just broke all over the floor and was like on him, and he's jumping up out of the bed. I'm like, bro, what happened, man? Like, what is going on? That was just a dream. So all I remember is that the rest of the night, we were on guard and keeping awake, just like this verse says, okay? There was no sleeping for the rest of the night for me. I am up just sitting in my bed with my baseball bat, like, bring it. Bring it. You know, like, I'm not going to sleep. I'm on guard. I am keeping watch. I am sensitive to everything that's happening. My ears are perked. I am ready for what's coming. And so what Mark is saying here in this verse, that in our spiritual lives, a lot of us can get really comfortable with sin. We get so comfortable with it that we basically fall asleep to sin and its dangers, and we don't hear it coming. We can't sense it. It's like we are asleep to it, and we would have no clue if sin were right over us about to devour us, because we're almost good with it. We tolerate it. We become comfortable with it. We even enjoy sin. And if we're actually going to keep standing firm, here's what Mark says we need to do. Like me in that bed, stand firm. Stay awake. Be on guard when it comes to sin. Determine in your heart that you don't want that for your life, that you want Jesus and you choose Jesus. And you call sin, sin. You don't tolerate it. You don't get comfortable with it. You don't dabble with it. You stand on guard and know that it could devour you. And you choose Christ. Don't get comfortable with sin. Stand on guard with sin in your life. The next tip, practical step to stand firm is this. Philippians 3:17. Listen to this one. It says, brothers, join in imitating me. Do what I do. And keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us. You know why we do life groups at Firehouse? so that you're surrounded by people, just like this verse says, that are walking with Jesus. You have a life group leader who's living amongst you guys, hanging out with you guys, teaching you God's word, so that you have an example to look to and say, hey, he's living for Jesus. She's living for Jesus. I could follow their example. Your friends in that group can hold you accountable and encourage you to live for Jesus and keep on. And probably even more importantly, you can be that person for them. So it's so easy sometimes to be like, oh, I'm skipping church tonight because, listen, it's not that big of a deal if I don't go. But a lot of times we feel that way because we think church is just about us getting fed instead of the fact that when you don't show up, how many people won't be encouraged because you didn't come? How many people won't have that example that you bring to that group every week because you weren't there? And it's not all about you getting fed, but it's about you coming and being that example for others and that leader in other people's lives. Be a part of a life group. More than just sitting on a Wednesday night to talk about some stuff after the sermon, but be a real part of your life group. Text people throughout the week. Find them in the hallways at school and pray with them. Go to your FCA. Do things that say, I'm a part of this thing and I love you guys. I want to walk with you in this so we can stand firm together. All right? The third one is Ephesians 6:13. All right? My dad is probably my best example of this. There was a neighbor that we had who had cancer. And this lady couldn't like mow her lawn. She couldn't take care of her yard or anything. She was getting really sick. And I remember going over to my dad's house one day and seeing him out in the front lawn of this lady's yard. He's just mowing her yard in the middle of the day, the blazing sun. He's got this big old man hat on. He's so funny, dude. My dad's awesome. And he's just out there mowing. And then like when he's done mowing, he starts weed whacking. And I go into his house and talk to my mom. And a little bit later, I come back out to see if he needs help. And there are like four other neighbors from around the street that had all come over and joined my dad, this goofy old dude out in the front yard, just out helping this lady. And all these neighbors come by and go, what are you doing? Oh, I'm just helping her out. She's got cancer. Can I help? And they'd run home and they'd get their lawnmower. And you have all these like little old people in the front yard just mowing this lady's yard. It was the coolest thing ever. It's like the whole group just out there doing it. But someone led by example. My dad shows me all the time what it looks like to love people and to serve people in the most humble way. Gosh, to be more like my dad. And those are the type of people that we need in our lives. To look to that example, right? So the next one, Ephesians 6:13, you there yet? It says, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand firm. This one says, put on the armor. You ready for the battle that we're talking about? Put the armor of God on. How do you put on God's armor? Like I said earlier, you open His Word. You spend time with Jesus. You wake up in the morning and say, there's a battle coming later today. Maybe right now as I walk out of my house. I need to put the armor on this morning. I need to open God's Word. I need to pray to Him. I need to spend time with Him and worship. I need to get my mind focused on Jesus so when I leave this house today, I'm wearing the armor and I'm ready for the battle. Are you spending time with Jesus? Are you making it part of your life where you're always wearing that armor? The battle's not going to find you with no armor on. It's going to find you ready. So you go back to school and you wake up and you're like, what am I going to face at school today? Opportunities to cheat on that test or that homework assignment. It'd be so easy to copy because I forgot to do it. And man, I know it's wrong, but it'd just be so much easier to do it. You get your armor on, you might make the right decision. All the other scenarios that are going to come your way as you go to school. Put your armor on first thing in the morning. And the last one, I'll close with this, is Psalm 119:11. It says, I have stored up your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Do you memorize God's word? Do you memorize it so that it's in your head and in your heart? So that as those times come that are trying and you're in the middle of your day and this thing comes at you and you're like, what do I do? It's awesome when you've memorized scripture, how those scriptures pop in your head. How the Holy Spirit goes up to your ear of your heart and goes, hey, listen, remember that verse. It's like, man, it's exactly what I needed. Because the Bible promises that the Holy Spirit takes God's Word and He brings it to light in your heart. Are you memorizing Scripture so you're ready for the battle? Do you have your armor on? Are you spending time with God? Do you have people around you that are coming alongside of you in the church that are helping you do this? And are you staying on guard and awake, saying, I'm not going to be comfortable with sin. I'm choosing Jesus above everything else. As I close tonight, I have one last video I want you to see. It's a testimony of a girl your age who went through some times where she's doing battle. I want you to hear her story real quick. Will you guys just bow your heads with me as we close tonight? I just want to be really straightforward with you as we close. I just want to ask you two simple questions. And the first is, have you ever accepted Jesus in your heart as your Lord and your Savior? Have you ever asked Jesus to forgive you of your sin? If you're here tonight and you can't honestly answer that question that you have, but you feel like that's something that God's calling you to do tonight. That's something that you want tonight. You want to know that you can be saved, that you can be forgiven, that you can spend eternity with Jesus. Would you do me a favor tonight so I can pray for you? Will you slip your hand up in the air and just honestly say, like, that's me. I want to be saved. I want my sins forgiven tonight. Will you slip your hand up and just say, that's me. Rob, will you pray for me tonight? I want to know that Jesus is my Savior. Just hold them up if you got them. Life Completers, I can't see. If you can look around, just see. You can put your hands down. Thank you. My second question is this. If you have accepted Christ as your Savior and you're saying, I want to live the mission, but I need help standing firm and keeping on. Like, this battle's tough. And I want some help. I want some prayer. I want some people around me to help me do this, to make the right choices and to follow Christ. Can I pray for you tonight? Will you slip your hand up in the air and say, that's me? Like, I'm in that boat. I want some prayer. I want to stand firm. Raise it nice and high. I see some of you guys kind of halfway got it up. Let me see them so I can pray for you. Your life group leaders are just going to look around so they know to pray for you too. We love you and we want to see you succeed in Christ. And we fight the same battle that you're fighting. We understand it. And so those of you guys who have your hands up, I know what you're going through. Is there anyone else tonight that would say that's me too? Like, I haven't raised my hand yet, but that's me. Will you pray for me too as I fight this battle? That I stand firm. Thank you guys for being honest. Let me pray for you right now. Father, we love you. God, thank you that you went to a cross for us. Thank you that you gave your life for our sin. To forgive us, to show us a love that we can't even comprehend. Jesus, for those in the room who have never accepted you or your forgiveness, I pray that tonight be the night. Those who raise their hands, that they would talk to a life group leader or talk to me before they leave tonight, and they would pray and say, Jesus, forgive me. Be my Savior. Be my King. And God, for the rest of us who raise our hand tonight honestly and say, we need help in this battle. God, we want to live for you. We want to keep strong. Jesus, will you help them? Will you help us? Cause people to come around us. Let us be there for others. And let us follow hard after the thing you've called us to do and live for you and you alone. We love you, Jesus. Be glorified. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen.